Well, it's kind of a reading from God's Word, and then after that, I think Brian will come up and do the notices and the things that he's got to say. Okay. Going to read from Psalm 19, verses 7 to 14. Psalm of David. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By then your servant is warned in keeping them. There is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I was talking to Ray before the service, and one of the things we talked about was being given a theme to speak about, or not being given a theme. And it's an interesting thing, really. More recently, we've joined with a number of churches, and we have a rota for the whole year that tells us the theme to preach on any particular Sunday throughout the year. And in some ways it's helpful. Some ways it's a challenge, because sometimes you think, now if I had a free hand in this, I wouldn't preach on this bit, or what am I going to say? On the other hand, if you don't have anything laid down, sometimes I find it takes quite a while to really feel that what God wants me to say before I even get started on putting anything together. But this is something that I spoke on in our church a few weeks ago. And the actual theme, or the title, was Speaking to Others. Speaking to Others. And before, at the side of that, there were some verses, Bible verses, for guidance, which is quite helpful, because some of the time they give us a subject and it's just a blank next to it, so you've got to search the scriptures yourself. But when I heard speaking to others, my initial thought was that it was about a person who knows and loves the Lord Jesus witnessing to people who don't. But when I started to look at some of the verses, I realised there was much more two things than that. And when I read that scripture out from Psalm 19, it finished with the last verse, verse 14, said these words, and this kept coming back to me: may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now, there were two things that leapt out at me: speaking, the words of my mouth. But there was that bit about the meditation of my heart. And I thought, let's explore the meditation of the heart to start with, and then let's move on to how we speak and what we say. And Jesus and the Pharisees and his disciples were there, and the Pharisees were having a go at Jesus because his disciples weren't washing their hands before they ate and various things, bringing up different things in the law. And so the disciples wanted an explanation from Jesus, and he said this, and it's in Mark 7. And then he added, that's Jesus, "It is what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart," remember that thing about meditation of the heart, "out of a person's heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All of these vile things come from within. They are what defile you." Wow, that's a list, isn't it? You know, I'm not going to go through all those and talk about all those things, but they're all things which Jesus told his disciples. They're the things that defile you, not washing your hands before you have your meal, although it is a good idea probably, but out of a person's heart come those evil thoughts and all those other things that are so awful. I'll just read the list again just to emphasize it. So, out of a person's heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All of these vile things come from within. They are what defiles you. And what defiles you within is going to influence what the words of your mouth, what comes out of you. And I'm sure we can all identify at least with some of those things in that list. You know, hopefully none of us have murdered anybody. But, you know, have we slandered anybody, or have we been proud about something or other? And foolishness, well, I'm sure we've all been foolish at times as well. And these are things inside us. And when we looked at that verse, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Now, when I was doing this talk before, I had a PowerPoint, so I had some pictures on it. And one of the pictures that came up was of something called an Invercar. Now, I don't know, perhaps the younger folk won't know what I'm talking about, but some of you will. The Invercar was an early sort of mobility attempt at creating a little car for people with mobility issues. And we've got some wonderful stuff on that people use nowadays, some incredible sort of things. But they invented this thing, I think originally it had a lawnmower petrol engine in it, and it was very dangerous. And it was built in Thundersley and up the road. And after a while, the government banned it. But the reason I'm telling you this is that some of you will remember a minister called the Reverend Bill West. Anybody? A few nods. And going back many, many, many years, I mean, Bill's with his maker now, but going back many years, he went to work for Invercar. And he was really on fire for God, and he really wanted to, if you like, preach to the staff. He wanted to stick Jesus stickers on his locker and everything. And he started off when he first got there, and they said, "No, you're not putting anything on your locker, and We don't want to hear about this at the moment. And then they said, we'll give you 3 months. And if we see that the way you act and the way you are matches up with what you want to tell us, then you've got free range to do what you want to do. You see, they had sort of said, we don't want to hear about all this Christian stuff. We want to see it in action. We want to see you in action. And after the 3 months, Bill was able to, I don't know if he plastered his locker with Jesus stickers or not, but anyway. Yeah. And there's a verse in 1 John 2:5, and it says this, but those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. Those that obey God's word truly show completely how they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. When I was younger, there was a song that came out, and there's some words in it that have stuck with me for rather a long while, I like to add. It's sung by a guy called Joe South, and it was a song called Mirror of Your Mind. And it has these words in it. Keep looking for the truth. No, won't you, won't you, won't you help me find the truth? And then this is the bit that really struck home to me. And it's this. People tell me, come join the crowd. I think we've found the way. But what they are shouts so loud that I can't hear what they say. And it really hits you, doesn't it, that? People tell me, come join the crowd. I think we've found the way. But what they are shouts so loud, I can't hear what they say. So, the meditation of our hearts. In our hearts come, that's the place where so many of these things that were listed in that passage from Mark have their way. And we just pray that the words of our mouths, we'll move on to that now. So, how should Christians speak to others? That's how should we speak, and speak to everybody. Not just doing Christian-y words when we're talking to Christians, but how should we speak to people? And Paul has some advice here. In Ephesians 4:29 it says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Are our words an encouragement to those that hear them? We all do grumble a bit sometimes, don't we, if we're honest. It's too hot at the moment, isn't it? Then it'll be too wet, then it'll be too cold. But anyway, are our words an encouragement to those who hear them? And in Colossians 4:6, Paul writes this, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. There's some warnings as well. In Proverbs it says the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. And in Matthew 12 it says this, and I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. And James has quite a bit to say about speaking. He talks a lot about the tongue in James chapter 3. I'll just read a bit of that. The tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. That's quite an interesting translation, isn't it? But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body, can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Now, this business about a small spark starting a great forest fire has become quite close to us, hasn't it, in the last few weeks. A few weeks ago we had that fire and explosion at Rettenden, which isn't very far away. And then, not long after that, Dunwich Heath up in Suffolk, National Trust Nature Reserve, caught light there, and many acres were destroyed. And I was up there, last October, I think it was, and had a lovely walk round and saw all the cover there is for the birds and the animals and so forth, and then see the pictures on the television of the whole area black and devastated. But what the Bible's saying is that our tongue, which helps us in our speech, can set off some really bad things. We mentioned about our, using what we say to be encouraging to people and helpful to people. But also we can, through what we say at the wrong time, the wrong thing at the wrong time, it's a real challenge. And if we think of that spark starting a fire, what we say might have repercussions far bigger than we can ever imagine. There's a little story I've got here, and I'll just read it to you. It's very brief. A businessman known for his ruthlessness, his arrogance, and his religiosity told Mark Twain that before he died, he intended to visit the Holy Land, climb Mount Sinai, and read the Ten Commandments aloud. "I have a better idea," Twain replied. "Just stay here in Boston and keep them." Simple story, but it does help us to see our actions need to be right. Our words need to be right in line with God's. So there's a verse from Thessalonians that I'd like to conclude this with. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, and it says this: "For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart." So remember that. The Lord examines the motives of our heart. He doesn't want to find any of those things that were in that great long list, because he wants, when we open our mouths, to be saying things that will encourage, that will challenge, that will be helpful to those around us. And remember, just like Bill West, if we claim to be Christians, people are watching us, and they draw their own conclusions about our Lord through the lives that we lead. All right. Thank you. Read this little benediction prayer. "Let the majesty of the Father be the light by which you walk. The compassion of the Son, be the love by which you walk. And the presence of the Spirit be the power by which you walk. May God bless us all. Amen.